Thank you so much, Shannon. Thank you, choir. Always, always brings such a very special message through the anthems that we hear every Sunday morning. Thank you so much for doing that once again this morning. You probably remember, I know I do, a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to spend a week down at Ocean Isle Beach with my family. I spent a lot of time on the beach that week. Rhonda and I are the types that we go out at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and we love to stay just pretty much all day until 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening, unless we have to cook or do something like that. The best time is like 4 or 5 o'clock out there, except for the sharks get hungry. Besides that, the best time out there is around 4 or 5 o'clock. We just love to go out there, and I spent a lot of time out there on the beach, you know, playing with grandkids or playing games with the kids or doing this thing that I call body surfing, which is sort of like imitating a beached whale when I do it, you know, rolling up on the shore after being beaten by the waves. Mostly, though, I sat under an umbrella. I just sat there under that umbrella, and I love to watch people. You do people watching? I like to do people watching, and it's just so interesting to see how people and families relate and how people do things very similar to the way I do them, or maybe even a little different once in a while. But I spent a lot of time people watching, but then I also spent a lot of time on this thing, my sort of intelligent phone, right? Very, very smart, much smarter than I am. And I would sit there on the beach, and I would, I'd thumb through it and look at different things on my phone, different things I wanted to see, and look at emails and text messages and Instagram and Facebook and all those things that people look at on their phones. And then I looked around at the umbrella stands around me, I call them like umbrella communes, you know. You have your little place, and then there's another little place here, another little place here. And they're all different groups of people and different families that are gathered under umbrellas because, strangely enough, we want to stay out of the sun, but we go out on the beach. I don't understand, really, but we go out there, and we have these umbrellas, and we're all in. And without exception, when I looked around at these different umbrella groups that were out there around me, someone, without exception, in that group or in that family, someone was on this. Someone was looking at their phone, just like I had been looking at my phone. And I started paying attention to that, and I started thinking, sitting there on the beach, what am I looking at? What am I doing with this phone? And I started realizing that a lot of what we do with these devices is count. We count with these things. You know, if you're on Instagram and you post something, what do? You count the number of likes that you get. You want to get lots of likes. If you're on Facebook, what do? You count your number of friends that you have. I have people that I know that have 5,000 friends there on Facebook. They probably know 10% of them. But we count our friends. We count our likes. We spend all this time looking at these screens and pushing these buttons and counting these things. And we count a lot even without these in our normal everyday lives. If you're on a diet, you're counting calories. If you're on Weight Watchers, you're counting points. If you're on Atkins, you're counting carbs. There's some of these other diets I've seen on the TV. I wonder if they don't count their success by the number of trips to the ER. I'm not sure. Some of them are pretty rough diets. But we do a lot of counting there in our lives. Every day of our lives, we count. I've even got one of these little fancy things on my wrist. This little thing counts everything. It counts every step I take. It counts every calorie I burn. It tells me when it's time to breathe. Really, it'll pop up once in a while and say, breathe. Like I've not been breathing for the last little while, and it's going to remind me to breathe, right? It's crazy, the things that we do, the counting that we do every day in our lives. We count minutes, we count hours, we count steps, we count calories. If you're a sports fan, which I am, you count scores, and you count the playoffs, and you count points, you count all these things. But I was sitting on the beach thinking about this, and you know, it's a dangerous thing. You know, they say a mind's a dangerous thing. My mind's a dangerous thing if I've got nothing much to do but think. So I was sitting there on the beach thinking about this and all the kinds of ways that we do counting in our lives. And I realized that in many ways, our self-worth and our value and our position in life, especially for young people, has been kind of relegated to counting. Instagram likes and Facebook friends, and we kind of get value for ourselves, and we feel we have a better value and self-worth and position because of those things. But what I've realized is that we kind of neglect to count the things that really matter. We sort of neglect to count the things that are really going to make a difference in our lives. And one of the things that I think, one of the great things I think that really matters and is really making a difference in our life is just something just simple that I call moments. Just moments in life. Let me show you what I'm talking about. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 24 this morning. And I invite you to turn there in your Bible or a pew Bible. Joshua chapter 24. And I'm going to read in just a minute, starting at the 14th verse of Joshua 24. Let me explain to you where we're picking this up so it gets in context of what I just spoke about. In Joshua chapter 24, you remember that Joshua is Moses' successor. Joshua is the one who took over from Moses after God had called Moses and he had led the people out of their slavery from Pharaoh and in Egypt. Joshua took over and he was the one who led these people to Canaan, there to the promised land. And in our text today, that where we're picking it up, they've made it to the promised land. They've crossed the Jordan River and they're there at the promised land. And some Bible scholars and theologians call that promised land this land of extravagant abundance. I mean, that's an example. That's kind of a depiction of where they are. Sort of reminds me of us. This place of extravagant abundance. They have it all. They have everything at their disposal. They have everything that they possibly need. Joshua knew that these people that he was leading, these people who were there at the promised land with him, he knew that these people sort of had a history of struggling to choose God over stuff. They sort of had a history of having trouble figuring out what was really important in their lives and choosing God over things. So he sits down there in the promised land with them and he's trying to remind them in chapter 24 of all the things that they have because of God. Of all the great things that they have because God has been there for them. And he doesn't want them to lose sight of how they got there into this land of extravagant abundance. So he says to them, hey, you guys need to remember Moses and Aaron, how God sent them. God's the one who sent Moses and Aaron to you to lead you out of that slavery. You need to remember how God sent the plagues on Egypt to free you from that slavery that you were in. You need to remember how God brought you through the Red Sea and how the water boiled up and how there was dry land for you to walk across. You need to remember how God was with you as you wandered aimlessly around in the wilderness for 40 years. You need to remember how God was with you and provided for you at that time. You need to remember how God led you across the Jordan River to this place and gave you this land with cities you didn't build, with vineyards you didn't plant. Now, God gave you all of these things. And then Joshua comes to this very poignant moment, this turning point, this very poignant moment where Joshua takes this and makes it personal to each one of those people. Joshua 24:14, Joshua says to them, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, Joshua says, as for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. Joshua is saying to them now, he's bringing this to a defining moment, a very poignant, defining moment in their lives. And he's saying to them, you know, you can continue to roll in and out of faithfulness to God if you want to. You can continue to do the same things you've always done. You can continue to complain when things are going bad and thinking that God is not going to provide, although he's always provided for you. You can continue to live that way. You can continue to go after the things of this world instead of going toward the greatness and the grace and the love and the mercy of God. You can continue to do that if you want to. You can continue with the same old mindset and the same old tattered, broken relationship with God that you've always had, Israelites. You can keep doing that if you want to. You can keep the old habits, the old past, the old unforgiveness, the old guilts. You can keep all that if you want to. Or you can make a decision. Or you can choose God and choose to serve him. Now Joshua is saying that, listen guys, I know you guys have made trouble, had trouble making decisions. I know you Israelites have had trouble choosing God over this other stuff. I know that's going on in your life, but now it's different. It's different now. We're not wandering around anymore. We're here. We're in this land of extravagant abundance. And I know that if I don't bring this to your attention, you're just going to wander off aimlessly. It's going to be very easy for you to not focus on God anymore and pay attention to the things that are really important. So here's your choice. Here's your choice. Choose today who you're going to serve. And then Joshua says, hey, I don't care what you decide. We're serving the Lord. I don't care what you decide. Here's your choice, but you get to choose. But as for me and my house, we're going to church every Sunday. We're going to Sunday school every Sunday. We're going to Ministry 714 every Sunday. We're going to be a part of missions every Sunday. We're going to be a part of the work of the church every Sunday. We're going to be a part of the things that are going on. We're going to give to the church every Sunday. We're going to do all these things that come with serving him and not kind of going back and forth as we can tend to do. We are going to serve him, Joshua says. This is what my household is going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. So regardless of what you do, Israelites, here's what I'm doing. It's a defining moment. A defining moment in their lives in what's going to happen. Sometimes life gives us choices, and depending on the choice that we make, everything can change. It can be defining in our lives. You know, I heard a story just a couple of weeks ago, a story of this young man who was a huge football fan, huge football fan. He went and bought two tickets to the Super Bowl. And he bought those tickets well in advance, obviously, of the game. And after he had purchased them, he realized that the day of the game was the same day as his wedding. Yeah. Now, he had spent $2,000 on these Super Bowl tickets. So he decided what he would do is he would put an ad on Facebook just asking if anyone would like to go in his place. And in the ad on Facebook, he said, the service will be at 3 o'clock at First Baptist Church, and her name is Lisa. Right over your head, isn't it? Is that not a defining moment? If was that a defining moment in that young man's life? I would say so. I would say so. Sometimes life gives us choices, and we have to make those choices, and sometimes those choices can be very defining moments in our lives. And the same thing is going on with the Israelites right now in Joshua. Joshua is saying, okay, here's your chance. You choose, but quit waffling. Quit going back and forth. Quit trying to be one thing and another thing. You can't do both. Get off the fence. Make a decision. How are you going to live? What kind of life are you going to have? Are you going to serve God or not? Or are you just going to serve God doing this, this, and this, but do everything else over here? No, you can't do it that way. Are you going to serve God or not? So Joshua says, here's your defining moment. Make this choice. And it's so wonderful to hear what their choice is. Verse 16. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. You see, life sometimes has these defining moments, choices that occur in our lives. Sometimes it's choosing a college. We talked about these college students today. Sometimes it's choosing a career path. Sometimes it's choosing your spouse and showing up at the wedding instead of the Super Bowl. Sometimes it's choices that are things that maybe aren't so positive and pleasant. Defining moments aren't necessarily all good and positive. When you lose a loved one, that's a defining moment. That's a moment that changes your life. If you go through a divorce, that's a defining moment in your life. If you have an illness with one of your children or your parent, that's a defining moment in your life. But defining moments don't happen that often. Just a handful of times probably in each of our lives. But they change the course of what's going on in our lives. Sometimes they happen because of good or bad decisions that we make. And sometimes they happen just out of things out of our control that happen to occur. But what I want to say to you today is, while the defining moments are important, they don't happen very often. But moments, just ordinary moments, just ordinary things that happen every day, moments, they happen all the time. And I sat on that beach that day thinking about all this, and I was realizing that what's really important is, it's just moments, right? Now, moments maybe don't change the course of our lives, but moments, if they're noticed, if we pay attention to them, can really make life worth living, can really give a value to life. And if we pay attention just to even ordinary moments that occur in life, if we really pay attention to them, they can become defining moments because they can kind of point us to these blessings, this extravagant abundance, these blessings of God on our lives. You see, when I was at the beach, I spent a lot of moments on that beach that week. I spent a moment playing with my grandson in the sand, holding his hand because he was afraid the wave was going to wash him up on shore because he's only 3 years old. I spent a moment holding Hudson and feeling my heartbeat every time he smiled at me, because that's all he has to do is smile for that to happen. I spent a moment just sitting there just watching the waves hit the shore and roll back and come right back again. I spent a moment playing cards with my kids. I spent a moment beating my kids at putt-putt again. And I loved it. I always enjoy that. I spent a moment celebrating my son's 25th birthday. Were those life-changing moments? Were those defining moments and life-altering moments? Well, no. But they still count. They still count because, let's face it, you and I don't know tomorrow. You and I don't know 5 minutes from now. And who knows how many chances we're going to get to sit on the beach under an umbrella with our family. Who knows how many chances that we're going to get to celebrate a birthday or hold a grandchild. Who knows how many chances we're going to get to offer forgiveness to somebody that we've been holding on to for so long. Who knows how many chances that we're going to get to give somebody a hug or to cry with somebody who's hurting Who knows how many chances we're going to get just to be present, just to be there, just to be with someone. Who knows how many chances we're going to get to do something very simple with our day that's going to make a difference to someone in need, that's probably going to be a defining moment in their lives. Who knows how many chances we're going to get just to come together and sit and pray to God together. How many chances we're going to get to serve God together as His body, His church, the body of Christ. Who knows how many chances we're going to get? Joshua said, choose today who you're going to serve. What he was saying is, don't waste moments with God. Don't waste even a moment that you could spend with God. Notice Him in every moment. Notice Him in everything that happens. Stop counting all these things that really don't matter in life and start paying attention to the moments of every day, of every life. You know, one other thing I realized when I was sitting on that beach is that tomorrow, August the 19th, would have been my daddy's 89th birthday. He was born on August the 19th, 1930. In 2004, lung cancer took him away from us. And what I wouldn't give for just one more moment. Let's bow and have a prayer together. Father, thank you for this life that you have blessed us with, for your presence each day in this life. Forgive us, God, for the ways that we squander days, that we squander moments, that we don't pay attention, that we pay attention to the stuff that's just really not going to matter. And by doing that, we miss moments. Father, help us each day to seek to see you in every person, in every situation, in every circumstance. To seek to see you in that person that doesn't look like us. To seek to see you in that person that maybe we need to forgive. To seek to see you in all the wonderful moments that life blesses us with, that you bless us with. And Father, help us to hold on to those moments, because they show us the blessings of who you are and what you do for us every day and how you bless us every day. They reveal you to us in a more real and personal way every day. Father, as we sing today this hymn of commitment, may it be a moment in time when we can turn our hearts toward you in a real and personal way, where we can make decisions in our lives, and we can choose today, who are we going to serve? How are we going to live? What kind of person am I going to be? Help us, God, to hold on to that moment. Thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.